CliffCentral.com.
Lebang and I are going to get stuck into This Is Us for this morning, and at 7:30 a.m. on a Tuesday, and every week on Lebang's own show, Life with Lebang, which is at 9 o'clock on a Thursday, you get to be a part of this conversation, and it's something that we are trying to do to make a positive change and bring some really interesting positive moves into what it is to be South African. It all came about because of what happened in June and July with those riots, and people were very down. There were lots of people asking, well, what does it mean to be South African? What are we? We're like, let's face ourselves head on. Let's look at ourselves in the mirror and see what we can do to get a grip on what it is to be South African. And we've decided to look for some solutions. And we'll answer the question about what makes South Africa a better place. That's kind of what we do with This Is Us. So you want to introduce our guest for the morning?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, I mean, obviously you said every single week we obviously chat to some of these great people that share really more about their lives, because they've obviously stripped themselves and really are just giving a service and giving back to the community all the time. So today we're going to be chatting to Leslie Ann van Salmon. She's the managing director at Kulisa Social Solutions, and they're a multi-award-winning NPO. I mean, they've been around since like 1997, and they aim to empower vulnerable children, the youth, people who've been marginalized, and basically like the community at large, to try and unlock their full potential, just, you know, to develop resilient pathways and to give people the skills that lead to a sustainable future. So they do a lot of things. And the work that Leslie Ann has done is, it's crazy. Like, to date, they've got like over 180 staff through 16 offices. They're working through maybe like 150 communities. It's a lot of work. And I'm really excited. So Leanne's going to join us today. Leslie Ann is going to tell us more about her work and also like how she's really just like stripped herself of herself and given back. So Leslie, thank you so much for being here and welcome to This Is Us.
Hey, nice to
thank
see you.
Thank you. And it's such a privilege to be with you all. Hi, Gareth.
Good. Nice to see you, Leslie. So, I mean, did Lebang get it right there?
Thank
because
you.
Because sometimes in these introductions, you know, like we are told what your job title is and we get like a corporate kind of summary of what it is you do. But how did you get into this?
Well, 24 years ago, by default, I walked into a prison to render a storytelling program to introduce African stories to young Black people who had never really had a chance to understand their culture. And I fell in love with these young people because I got to realize that they had never really had a chance to identify with their past and to actually tell their own stories. When I listened to the stories of these young people, I developed a philosophy that I live to according to this day, is don't ask somebody what they did, but what happened to them. And when we start asking people what happened to them, it starts giving us huge, significant insights into why young people are committing crime, why we have so many young children who are so lost, why we have so many families that are so dysfunctional. And we in this country have got to start listening to each other and understanding our stories in order for every one of us to be able to contribute towards what's caused the dysfunctionality in the lives of these people.
Now, Leslie Ann, I know that you guys started your project with mainly like inmates and mainly with, you know, getting inmates back into society, but it's really evolved over the years. Can you tell us a bit more about the community of opportunity approach? Because I think that is so cool.
Oh, you've really done your homework. So after working with offenders for many, many years, we realized that dealing with offending behavior was not really getting to the causal factors of why young people were actually committing crime. Yes, we were helping to reintegrate them. We're helping to reunite them with their families and very much enabling them to take responsibility for the wrong that they had done, because restorative justice is a crucial part of our work, is taking accountability. But when we started looking at what really we need to do to address, you know, multiple social challenges, we flipped the pyramid upside down and we started saying, we can't do anything without asking the community, what are your solutions to your problems? What are your problems? And where are the assets in your communities that we can develop and tap into to enable them to realize their full potential? Because far too often we make assumptions about what communities need. You know, we have, you know, corporates, governments building hospitals, building schools and parks and all sorts of things, only to find that the minute there's any unrest, these assets are totally demolished because the communities are angry and they don't want these things to be built. They want to be heard. So when we started working in a systemic way and looking at never doing anything without asking the community what their solutions are, the community came up with so many ideas for dealing with social ills and dealing with exclusion. And these are methodologies and processes that we as individuals or external stakeholders would never ourselves have identified. And in the past 3 or nearly 4 years now, we listened to the voices of over 4,000 community members, ranging from persons with albinism, from the elderly, from people in deep rural areas, from victims of xenophobia. And we asked them, what would it look like if you were living your best life? And what has amazed us is we would think it would be the most sophisticated type of infrastructure. But the fundamentals that these people have told us is that we want a roof over our classroom. We want a teacher who's not suicidal. We want school books. We want access to IT. We want families that don't beat each other up. We want a roof over our heads. We want to be able to walk to school safely. And when we look systemically at what the solutions that the communities themselves have given us, as we start saying, wow, all these billions and billions and billions of rands, why haven't they gone towards these basic fundamental human needs, these the basic hierarchical needs of the people in our country? And that's really what Kulisa's work focuses on now, is we work in geographic ecosystems. So working in one school alone doing STEM subjects or playing soccer doesn't deal with the systemic needs of the children. So what we do is we look at, after consulting the community, look at a multifaceted approach that provides an opportunity for everybody within that system to benefit. And then we bring in different partners, different stakeholders, because for us, collaboration with NGOs, governments at a local level is absolutely pivotal to our work. Nobody can do anything on their own. And we now have an algorithm where we can actually measure social impact. So by bringing in different stakeholders, we've got the baseline data by conducting the research through the storytelling, through the transit walkthrough, engaging with the stakeholders. We've got that baseline data. And we then start saying to different parties, listen, instead of this NGOs working in silos, why don't we look at where the alignment lies? Let's not be jealous of what you've got, because if we can do things together, we can achieve so much more and we can liberate so many more opportunities. And then we start looking at corporates and how the corporates can align what they're doing within this ecosystem, and looking at how we can match strategy with needs, and then start looking at alignment of different community priorities. And then once you start bringing in the corporate volunteer or the individual volunteer aspect, that's really where the cherry on the top comes, because there's nobody in South Africa, nobody who cannot play their role in making South Africa a much better place. But the secret here lies in being able to match passion with purpose, because we have got needs. We can show you the community in this area need sewing. The Googles want to sew. We really need a soccer ball. We would really love somebody to do virtual training. So by having these realistically and carefully articulated needs, there's a massive opportunity for people to come in a way that's measurable, in a way that we can show a return on investment.
That was a lot.
This is interesting work, and I'm sure that you have insights into this that the rest of us don't have. And I'd love to hear what you have to say, Leslie, when it comes to you particularly with prisoners, you know, the fact that that's where it all started for you in telling these stories. I mean, how many of these young people in prison in South Africa are there for petty crimes and for things that really shouldn't be on their record forever? You know, it could be dealing in drugs or, you know, some petty theft. And by no means am I making excuses for any of these criminals, because I know our audience will say to me, don't go and start trying to absolve them of what they've done and what they've been up to. But you ask the question, what happened to you, as opposed to what did you do? And I like that, although it seems to eschew some of the personal responsibility. So you're walking a bit of a fine line here, because you do want a lot of these people to develop a sense of personal responsibility. Perhaps the fact that there wasn't personal responsibility in their family or home life or even in their community at large is part of the reason that they end up in these very tricky situations. How do you walk that line?
Okay, so when we say what happened to you, what happened in your life that led you to make a decision to commit a crime? So it could be that, you know, at school there's no recreation. I joined a group of gangsters as friends because that's where I found the love and the solace. Mm-hmm. And we became involved in petty crimes, and eventually to develop our bravado and to show that we're valuable, we you know, escalated to commit more and more serious crimes. So what was the catalyst? And so that's really where we're saying what happened. I'm not for 1 minute saying that we must absolve people for wrongdoing. Everything that we do is you have to take responsibility. But if we can start looking at what's happening around us in our society today with our young children today, we can start seeing the total lack of, you know, families being taught how to bring their children up properly, how to really provide the necessary anchor of love and support. Because in all the research we're doing, the families themselves come from the brokenness. And if we look at the history of our country, that is really, you know, going back, is the little support that the families have really had in learning how to develop young people, because they're living in such poverty to a very large extent, and because they themselves don't even know how to love and protect themselves. So again, you know, the offending behavior, nobody can excuse it. But if we can start creating alternatives at a young age for children to become actively engaged in healthy outdoor activities and to be informed of alternatives in life and to develop their emotional intelligence, which is so vital. And that's where we see with the thousands right. of young people we're working with where the gap is.
Yeah, this is tricky. I mean, there's so much stuff here that we can do as individuals and we can do in NGOs and the kind of work that you're doing, but there is also some stuff that really does fall squarely on the table of government. And we know unemployment is a huge problem. And for so many of these young men, I don't think it's controversial to say that if they had a job, if they had some reason to wake up in the morning and something constructive to do, whether it was for money or for personal feelings of achievement, you know, some sort of ability to make a contribution to the world, we would probably have a lot less of the social ills that come from them not having that. Is that your experience too, or am I grasping a little bit here?
Absolutely. No. That you are 100% correct. And it's interesting, we had a dialogue circle with Alex, in fact, immediately the week after the looting happened. And we engaged with 14 different groups through different forms of dialogue, trying to make sense of what had happened. And we got the looters, the shop owners, the victims, the people who had lost family members, into a dialogue saying, what went wrong? Why did we go on this rampant type of behavior? And it was the first time that people and Alex, and it sounds incredible, but it's true, actually sat down and got to know each other, even though they live rubbing shoulders, that they actually, as human beings, sat down and spoke to each other. And from those dialogues, even the individuals in that devastated community started reaching out to each other to say, okay, you know, you lost your job, whatever, you're going to look for a job. Let me take care of your child for you during the day. She can come and play with my children, and I'll look out for you, or I'll look out for your house. So even people at a grassroots level, given the chance to realize the value that they can add to each other's lives by connecting as human beings, can make such a huge difference. And Gareth, just on that one note, is we had a very well-known individual who came to one of the groups, and it was a really, really sad day when everybody was just totally helpless. Mm. And the one person turned around afterwards and said to me, you know, Liz, I can't remember what you said. I can't remember what I said, but I'll never forget how I feel today. Mm-hmm. I feel that I'm a human being because I've been listened to.
Yeah, that's quite a thing.
And you know, we downplay, I guess, the necessity of really just those simple things, being able to have a conversation with your neighbors and the people in your community, just being able to share your struggles, because you'll realize that for the most part, we maybe all have similar struggles, And if anything, the solution could be right next door. And I just want to find out, like, Lizzie, what are some of the real practical ways that, for example, we can apply ourselves to some of these causes? Because I believe that at the end of the day, we all do want to see a better South Africa. But at the same time, realistically, we're all kind of busy going about our lives, you know, just trying to survive. And it's also important for us to fill that need of helping and that feeling of, you know, you're also giving back. So how can we practically get involved with some of these causes, just so we can also do our bit in helping out?
So there's a platform called For Good that is has been a source of literally hundreds and hundreds of individuals and corporates, where NGOs post their cause. And they could be asking for old paintbrushes, they could be asking for training or board members, a whole variety. So For Good is an amazing platform. And then on Kulisa's website, for example, we also have our own wish list. And even in the busyness, if you've got a garage and you're wanting to chuck out old tins of paint or whatever, these types of things, it's even can lift up a classroom. So I would really say is go to the For Good platform. And we've also got a form on our website where individuals who would like to donate or would love to just align their passion with a purpose is go onto our website and say, listen, I've got old headdresses I want to donate, or I've got an hour of my time I'd like to do some online motivational talking. And because Kulisa is a large NGO, we are able to match people throughout the country with purposes. And again, nothing is done without having knowing there's a need. I'm not going to waste Gareth's time to donate or auction off his ties if I don't know there's a need that's linked to Gareth's passion, which is social justice.
So
again, it's that need tables.
What I love about this and what makes this slightly different to anyone who run an NGO, you know, they're always asking for money. And we're living in a country now where people just don't have a whole lot of money, and we have so many worthy causes that it's exhausting for ordinary people who are constantly feeling prevailed upon by these NGOs. Oh, you've got to donate money, you've got to donate money, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. You're helping when actually you may yourself be in some financial trouble, but you feel compelled to help nonetheless. What you're asking for here, and what I love, is you can donate old paintbrushes, you can donate old clothes, you can donate your time, you can give your expertise, you can mentor somebody, you can spend 20 minutes on a, you know, Saturday morning doing something really useful. And that's special, because everybody has something that they have too much of, or something that they have extra to give. And I think that that's really, really special. I think that that gives everybody an opportunity to be a part of something.
Absolutely. And Gareth, when a gratification, I mean, when the donation or of time or whatever is matched with our proof to you of where your donation of your ties went, I mean, actually show you these young graduates wearing your ties, because we don't do anything without giving feedback. Every single person who gives to us, we say, this is where it's gone. Here's the pictures. And we provide you with feedback on an ongoing basis to say, look at the difference you made. That knowing that what you've done has not just been a drop off or a meaningless donation or just 20 minutes of your time, you know, oh, great, I did it. But when you know that it's really, really massive, it's made a difference, that for us is the most important thing.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a measurable return on your investment, however small it may be.
Yeah, that's terrific. It really is. And again, it's something anyone can do. You don't have to have tons of money. You don't have to have a garage full of stuff. You might just have a little bag of extra things lying around the house that will allow someone to perfect a skill or a craft. It will teach someone, give them the materials to be able to do something that they already have the creative instinct to do. I think that's lovely.
It is. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, that's cool. Lizzie, before you go and before you leave us, like, where do you guys ultimately see yourselves working, and what kind of areas, I think, like within the next, I guess, 8 to 10 years? Because obviously all the work that we're doing now isn't really for us, right? It's for the kids, and it's for the future to really, get the rewards. So what kind of growth do you see Kulisa heading into? Because I know now you guys have gone from working in these little communities to working in more and more and more little communities. So I guess from like a growth perspective, Where's Kulisa going?
Kulisa is going to take those grassroots fledgling NGOs that are so passionate to make a difference, who use their pension money, who sell whatever they've got just to eke a living, to have connectivity to support the NGO. The amount of NGOs in this country who will never be funded because they don't have the governance training, they will never be able to access funding because it's so difficult these days. Our passion is going to take those grassroots NGOs that are making such a difference with nothing, to elevate them to the level where they can access funding, where they can be profiled. And we want to take, you know, hopefully thousands and thousands of NGOs and escalate them to the level where they too can be proud and stand up and say, we've got funding, we've got a track record. Because the, you know, government, as we said, these days relying on government alone to do what needs to be done on the ground, the NGOs are doing that. And the amount of NGOs who are doing it because there's nobody else to do it, the poverty, the hunger, the children going without clothing, the ECD, we need to uplift these NGOs, and that's Kulisa's passion. And if anybody can help in terms of that, that is where we need to focus on creating an army of powerful, effective NGOs in our country.
Well, listen, congratulations.
That is wild.
I mean, congrats on what you're doing. I think that the way it all started, your story about the prisoners is what's grabbed my attention here, because we just throw these people into our awful, awful jails. And listen, if you want to see what really miserable circumstances look like, just go and visit a South African jail. You will suddenly have so much more appreciation for those little things that you take for granted. And the fact that it all started there for you, and we shouldn't just cast these people into jail and forget about them. We're asking for trouble. We're asking for a massive return on investment that's going to be very, very negative for us if we just throw them in and throw away the key. We need to look after ourselves. We need to look after other people and lift the whole community up. And it's going to take a combined effort. And you've started that. So well done to you, Leslie. And it's great to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody in South Africa who's going to think about what they can throw away and throw up.
Well, especially at this time of year, right? I mean, you can spring clean your house during the holidays, see what you don't need anymore. We've all got something that we've got too much of. And we can probably find a way to put that to good use. So get hold of Kulisa and see what you can do with them.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I wish you a happy festive season. Thank you.
Leslie Ann Funselm. And that's from Kulisa. That's where Leslie Ann is. Very good to have you here. Lebang, we will return with This Is Us next week, same time, same place, and on your show on Thursday.
Yep. Yes, every single Thursday from 9 till 10 a.m. on clipcentral.com. We literally like chat to the exact people that Leslie Ann is speaking of, the people that are on the ground using the little that they've got to help their little community, who will never get any recognition, any funding, any anything from government. These are the people that we speak to directly who are giving off themselves. So yes, don't miss that this Thursday from 9 to 10.
Very good. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a good day. Cheers, everybody. CliffCentral.com.